One of the roles that I found particularly fulfilling when I was working as a regional minister with the London Baptist Association was being part of the Ministerial Recognition Committee. The task of this committee was to interview people from Baptist churches in London who felt that they had a call to the ministry. And if we approved them, to commend them onto the Baptist colleges for training as ministers. It was an extremely rewarding part of my role, meeting a wide range of people from different backgrounds, all with very different stories to tell, but all exploring whether God was calling them to the ministry. The group of people we had on the committee were extremely insightful. They had this way of asking the right questions and probing in the right manner. And on many occasions, we had to say to people, either no, this really isn't for you, or you need to wait and do a little bit more preparation before you start to train. One of my tasks was to communicate with the candidates after the interviews, which was kind of good when it was yes, but not so good when we had to say no or wait. And I always pressed the committee to sum up their reasons for saying no so that I can say to the candidate, look, this is why we have decided that this isn't right. One of the most common reasons that people were turned down came to a lack of self-awareness. People not being aware of their own shortcomings, their own weaknesses. A failure, perhaps, to come to terms with some kind of setback in their life. Or a failure to understand the way in which they have an impact on other people and just not be aware of the way in which they influence others. Now, I often wondered to myself, I played one of those kind of mental games, whether Jesus would have got through our Ministerial Recognition Committee. On the basis that we sometimes turned people down because we thought they had a Messiah complex, it may have been a bit of a problem for him. Although I never told people that was why we turned them down. But if he had been turned down, I don't think it would have been because he showed a lack of awareness. Because if Jesus was anything, he was deeply self-aware. And the story of the temptations of Jesus is a story that speaks of Jesus' deep awareness of his humanity and of his true calling in God. Through his temptations, Jesus confronts all of those forces that threaten to undermine his relationship with God. And these forces are forces that are at work in all of our lives because they are human forces that pull us out of a right relationship with God. Forces, powers that threaten our relationship with God. This story shows Jesus' deep self-awareness as a human being in his relationship with God. The first temptation is all about Jesus confronting the power of the appetites, of the human appetites. Human appetites control us all in some ways. And it was the appetite of hunger, the need for food, that Jesus confronted in this temptation. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He is desperately hungry. And the tempter knows the basic appetite for food and the way that it can have a power and influence over human beings. And so he plants this thought into Jesus' head. Why shouldn't I turn these stones into bread? If I'm really the Son of God, can't I do that? No one's going to be harmed by it. No one would know. Why not? But Jesus knew he was here in this barren, lifeless place because the Spirit of God had led him here. And the Spirit of God had led him there for a purpose. And the purpose was for him to sort out his human appetites and how those human appetites fitted into his relationship with God. He knew his hunger was for a purpose. It was for the purpose of learning that there was a deeper hunger in his life that mattered more than his hunger for food. It was a time for him to connect with his deep appetite for God. And so he responds to this temptation: man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He knew he needed bread, but he knew that even more than that, he depended deeply on God. And his dependence on God needed to be deeper than his dependence on food. Now, that's a lesson that we all need to learn, not just about food, but all of those basic human appetites. Our appetites need to be ordered. You see, there are a range of basic appetites which drive our behavior as human beings. They're not wrong, they're part and parcel of being human. There's the need for food and water, the basic appetite to be nourished and nurtured physically. We need it. There's the sexual appetite that is part of what it means to be human. It's that basic natural urge to procreate, and it's part of being human. There are the social appetites, the need for companionship, the need to belong, the need for recognition. And usually we're not aware of how much these different appetites have a power over our lives until we have to go without something. And then we find out just how much of a difference they make. And these appetites can take very particular forms. We have this way of creating for ourselves kind of artificial needs and appetites. One of the common ones today is the need that many people have to hang on to their mobile phones, because many people now would be lost without their smartphone and without social media. It's become such an obsession that people just have to keep on looking at their phones, and we cannot go through a day without somehow connecting with this wider social world. Many people can't go 5 minutes without looking at their phone and doing something with it. And it's just part of the way in which we build up appetites, but also build up dependence on them. And they begin to shape our lives. And the question that we need to ask is, are we shaped and controlled by our appetites, whatever those appetites are? Or do we order our appetites so that we are shaped and controlled only by God? In this temptation experience, Jesus went through that process so that he understood the power of human appetites upon him, so that he knew what it was to connect to his deeper appetite for relationship with God. And that was what became most important for him. And if that was right for Jesus, then we also need to sort out our appetites. They will be there. They're part of being human. They are not evil. They are not wrong. But they just need to be properly ordered in our lives. When we are getting upset, do we turn to comfort food to sort us out? Or do we turn to God? Those are the kinds of issues that we need to ask ourselves and grapple with. Ordering our appetites. Otherwise, they will dominate our lives and we will never nourish our appetite for God. The second temptation is Jesus confronting the power of human anxiety. Jesus is taken to a high point on the walls of the temple. This is probably a kind of visionary experience that Jesus had. And you hear these words in his head: if you want to prove that you really trust God, then you could just throw yourself off and then God would never let you fall to the ground. Then you would know that God can be trusted. But what Jesus knew is that to do this would not be an act of faith in God, but an act of distrust in God. Because it would mean he was trying to prove that he could trust God. And his response is, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't test God. And what the tempter is doing here is playing on the deep torrents of anxiety that threaten to undermine us as human beings. And the basic question underneath that anxiety is that anxious question: can I trust you? Can I trust God? Can I trust him? Can I trust her? That's the deep anxiety that threatens to undermine all relationships. Can I really trust somebody else? Because our lives and our relationships are based upon being able to trust one another. That's how relationships flow and develop, by developing that sense of trust. But as soon as we begin to try to test that trust by putting up some kind of artificial means to try to test whether we can really trust somebody else, we know that the relationship is probably going to be undermined, because if the other person finds out that we've done that, they will read that as a sign of our lack of trust in them. And the relationship will begin to tumble. But that's the kind of way in which anxiety plays its part in our lives, because it undermines trust. Trust in one another and trust in God. Again, anxiety, fear, is in itself not a bad thing. We need to have a proper kind of fear, a proper kind of anxiety at times. There are things that really do threaten our lives, and if we weren't aware of that, we would be in a poor situation. Anxiety, fear, is kind of nature's alarm bell that tells us that there is danger, and we need to be alert. We need to be on our toes. It's not always a bad thing. But anxiety does need to be controlled. Anxiety needs to be put in its place so that it doesn't undermine trust and fear. I'm not talking here about clinical phobias that need expert treatment. I'm talking about the way in which everyday run-of-the-mill anxiety shapes our lives and can take control of us and can stop us from trusting deeply in God, because we are always nervous of letting go of ourselves to another and letting go of ourselves to God. Jesus knew that his anxiety was being played on in this situation about whether or not he could trust God. He resisted. He teaches us that we need to learn to control our anxieties and to learn what true faith in God is all about. And then thirdly, the third temptation is about the power of ambition in our lives. Jesus is promised by the tempter, all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor will be yours if only you bow down to me. And Jesus knew that his destiny was that all authority in heaven and on earth should be given to him. But it's the question of how he gets there. And he knew this was only by obedience to God and taking the way of the cross and living the life of loving obedience to God. To bow down to the tempter, to the devil, would be to undermine that way. But the tempter played on his normal human ambition. And again, human ambition itself is not a bad thing. It's what makes us human beings. It makes us curious, adventurous, pressing forward. It causes us to explore. It causes us to be creative, to search for answers. It's about having a desire to make the world a better place, a belief that we have a purpose in this world that we can follow. That's good ambition. There's nothing wrong with it, being pressed forward in life and pressing onward. But equally, our ambitions can get the better of us if our ambitions are not directed into the service of God. And that's what Jesus learned in this temptation. What it was to shape and direct his ambitions into the service of God, to follow the way of the cross. So the question for us is, are we shaped, controlled, determined by our appetites, our anxieties, and our ambitions? Or are all of those things, our appetites, our anxieties, our ambitions, are they controlled, directed, and ordered by our allegiance to God? And what we need is to learn a deep self-awareness so that we know the place that these things are playing in our lives and what it means then to give our allegiance to God.